important, powerful, and in control. Therefore, saying something blunt, like, I'm sure it makes you feel important to have inside information, but frankly, gossiping doesn't put you in the best light, will most likely hurt them, but perhaps to a point where they may never want to speak to you again. So be it. Good riddance to bad gossipers. There's absolutely no room whatsoever for gossips in your professional life because they can ruin your life's work. A gossip can destroy your business as fast as an arsonist can destroy a forest with a fire, so you have to unplug.
Part 3.
Dealing with the angry pugilist. What the angry pugilist needs most is love. TLC, tender loving care. It's amazing how the give 'em love and kindness technique can knock the wind out of their sails and even begin to turn them around. It may not happen immediately, but eventually a kinder and more docile person will emerge. If the angry pugilist becomes physically violent, taking out hostility on you, your only recourse is to unplug and say goodbye, adios, sayonara, and never look back. The unplug technique may also be necessary when such a person becomes impossible to deal with. When an angry pugilist fails to respond to any of the other techniques, you have no recourse but to unplug for good. Dealing with the gloom and doom victim. The best technique to use around the gloom and doom victim is the tension blowout. You need to blow out their energy repeatedly because it can be debilitating to be around them for a length of time. These people are like living negative mood contagions, and it may be very easy to catch their bad moods. It may also be advisable to unplug from them, since they'll rarely accept your help or suggestions or listen to your advice with, yeah, but. Even if you use the give them love and kindness technique and tell them how terrific they are, they'll never believe you because their feelings are of total inadequacy. Therefore, if you value your sanity and you don't want to live a life of constant frustration, in many cases, you have no choice other than to unplug. Dealing with a smiling, two-faced backstabber. You have to use a direct confront technique with the smiling backstabber. You have to let them know that you're hip to what they're saying about you. You're hip to their two-faced ways, and you should never let these people off the hook. After being confronted, backstabbers may deny what they did, even though you may have caught them red-handed. In this case, you can employ the give them hell and yell technique to let your anger out. But once again, never use any form of physical violence, no matter how badly you want to. Often your emotional, highly charged reaction will linger in the minds of the backstabbers, causing them torment for the rest of their lives even. Dealing with the wishy-washy wimp. The wishy-washy wimps are so insecure and so fragile, they need to be handled gingerly. Therefore, give them love and kindness. It's most helpful in letting them know that you're being supportive in their decision-making process. You may also want to use the calm questioning technique to help these people make their decisions. Ask questions that'll clarify issues that can help this wimp reach a logical conclusion. Now, if the wishy-washy wimp drives you so crazy and doesn't respond to the love and kindness technique or the calm questioning technique, you have to unplug and leave the individual sitting on the fence alone. Dealing with the opportunistic user. The opportunistic user takes advantage of innocent victims to get what he or she wants, so the direct confront technique is the best method to use with them. This technique lets them know that you feel used and hurt by their actions. In some cases, when you confront them, you'll make them feel guilty about what they did. If your relationship or friendship had any meaning, users may take a second look at their behavior and how they've treated you. As long as it's done calmly, the direct confront technique allows two people to begin to establish open lines of communication that could help in resolving any problematic feelings. Sometimes you may use the direct confront technique and the opportunistic user will deny it or just not get it. When you know that the person is trying to use you or manipulate you in a situation, you have to say directly and bluntly, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to let anyone take advantage of me because I won't feel very good about it if I do. Your alternative may be to unplug and never allow the opportunistic user to use you again. Dealing with the bitchy, bossy bully. The mirror technique is the best approach to use with a bitchy, bossy bully who hate to be bullied, bossed, or bitched at themselves. Having their ugly actions thrown right back into their faces will usually put a damper on their toxic behavior. Oftentimes, these little Hitlers given a taste of their own medicine, will be shocked and disgusted by their own behavior. In essence, bullying or bitching back stops any further negative behavior towards you. What you've done is regained your power by barking louder than they have. In addition, the give 'em hell and yell technique is often appropriate for the bitchy, bossy bully in your life. You can't allow them to get their cheap thrills by tormenting you and watching you squirm. Instead, you have to act fearless and in control. Often, if you give them hell and yell, they'll gain respect for you as you put them in their place. You must never give them the satisfaction of seeing you cower. A bitchy, bossy bully who's your boss may either respect you or fire you when you bully back, but you win either case. If you're fired, at least you've left with your self-respect intact. Another option in dealing with a bitchy, bossy bully is to unplug and get away from them as soon as possible. You can also use the humor technique, because many times good-natured humor will make your point and the bitchy, bossy bully will lighten up. There are a lot of options to use with the bitchy, bossy bully. The main thing is keep your self-esteem. Dealing with the jokester. The direct confront technique lets the jokester know right up front that you don't think they're so funny and you won't be subjected to their stupid jokes or stories. You need to use a firm voice to cut those jokesters off at the pass. It's okay to talk over these people if they don't get the message. When the jokesters make sarcastic comments at your expense and claim to only be kidding, or they try to get on the defensive by saying, "Can't you take a joke?" you need to put them in their place immediately and tell them that you can take a joke, but you find what they say nowhere near funny or humorous. Don't worry about speaking up or hurting the jokester's feelings. After all, these people don't care about your feelings. Because jokesters have put up a wall to shield their extreme insecurity, you may not be able to penetrate their obnoxious joking demeanor. Jokesters may ignore you and continue with their jokes. If that's the case, you need to resort to the give 'em hell and yell technique. You can also remind jokesters through the direct confront technique that in today's world, there are such things as sexual harassment suits. That'll oftentimes put an immediate end to their jokes, especially if the jokes are ethnic or sexually provocative. Dealing with the unconscious social klutz. With the unconscious social klutz, you can try a variety of techniques to get your point across. Your choice depends on how thick-skulled or socially backward the klutz is. Begin with the tension blowout technique, as you'll find these people so exasperating that it's best to handle your anger and tension immediately by taking that breath in, holding it, and then blowing them out. Usually that technique won't be sufficient enough to release your anger at these klutzes, so you need to engage them in this direct confrontation, the direct confront technique. Let them know, just as you'd let a little child know, that their actions are completely unacceptable. All too often, the unconscious social klutz will say vulgar, rude, or socially unacceptable things that you just can't believe you heard. If they do, reflect their comments right back to them via the mirror technique. Now, sometimes that technique won't work, especially on dense people. If they're not getting it, you sometimes need to use the give 'em hell and yell technique, because that'll shock some sense into the klutz. And there are unconscious social klutzes who are so clueless that nothing will work. In this situation, when the person makes the same mistake repeatedly and refuses to listen to anything you say or do, you have to unplug in order to preserve your own sanity. Dealing with the mental case. Perhaps the best methods to use with the mental case are the tension blowout and the calm questioning techniques. The calmer you are, the less you'll agitate the mental case and the easier it'll be to communicate with them. But ultimately, with the mental case, you'll probably have to unplug and go your own way, because unless they get professional help, they can never change their sick behavior patterns. Do whatever you can to help them get into professional care. And if it fails, you have to detach yourself. In dealing with dangerous mental cases, never take the law into your own hands. Use appropriate legal channels to see that justice is served. Then, painful though it may be, use the unplug and stop the thought techniques to help you cope with the pain created by the toxic mental case. Dealing with the BSing liar. BSing liars are best handled using the calm questioning technique. If you suspect that they're lying, ask more and more questions, because eventually these liars will paint themselves into a corner and eventually they'll reveal their true colors. Some BSing liars stretch the truth primarily to impress you. You may want to, though, let them save face, even though you know that they're BSing you. Use the tension blowout technique and just let it go. Or if they're trying to impress you with little white lies that aren't going to hurt anybody, use the humor technique. You know, smirk at them often and let them know that you're certainly onto their BS, but you're saving them from their own humiliation. You can never believe anything these people say to you because they're basically not trustworthy people. If people lie or exaggerate casually before you do business with them, they'll most likely lie when you're doing business with them. So if they're clues, look for those clues. Pay attention to those signs before it's too late. Dealing with the meddler. Meddlers need to be told in no uncertain terms that their meddling is not appreciated and completely unacceptable. The best techniques are the give 'em hell and yell techniques, followed by the unplug techniques, because they work best in informing these meddlers that you mean business. You can never be too nice or polite to meddlers, because they usually won't get it. They're too manipulative and too dangerous to deal with. So after you give 'em hell and yell and you unplug from them, tell them to get out of your life for good. Dealing with the penny-pinching miser. Perhaps the most pathetic type of toxic terror is this penny-pinching miser because they have such low self-esteem. Oftentimes, the calm questioning technique can really help you deal with them because you'll ask questions. You'll help this penny-pinching miser understand just how stingy they're being. They'll probably be embarrassed into getting your point, and their answers will give you a lot more insight into their fears and thereby enable you to understand and tolerate them a lot better, even though you may not like their actions. So compassion and understanding are necessary. So use a caring tone of voice. That's very essential when you deal with the penny-pinching miser. In order to facilitate your compassion towards them, give them the love and kindness technique. Dealing with the fanatic. Certainly, you want to be pleasant to people who like you and appreciate you, and you don't want to offend them. But when people get out of hand and try to manipulate you, you have to set limits firmly. You have to set your boundaries. And you can do this by using the direct confront technique, where you strongly project your voice so that they get the message loud and clear. And if they don't respond, you have to put your foot down and then give them hell and yell. If you can't reason with them, you've got to unplug and have no further contact with them whatsoever. Now, if the fanatic is also a mental case, which is a common situation, you have to protect yourself by going through appropriate legal channels. Also, you have to make sure that your home and your business are secured so that the person doesn't have easy access to you. Dealing with the me, myself, and I narcissist. These people can't speak any language unless it has to do with themselves. So, therefore, you have to use the give them love and kindness technique first. That's the best way to get through to them, because the reason they're so narcissistic and self-absorbed is because deep down inside they're frightened and insecure, and they're really underdeveloped human beings. Understanding this can help you become more sensitive to their needs and to be better able to deal with them. They're not necessarily trying to be selfish. They just are because they lack self-esteem. And they can't give to others because they're depleted and empty as human beings with nothing there to give. The tension blowout technique is also very effective in releasing your frustration while dealing with these me, myself, and I narcissists. You can also use the direct confront technique when their selfish ways and insensitivity become too hurtful to you. You have to speak up. But you have to speak up in a calm, controlled tone. Otherwise, they won't hear you. If you sound accusing or whiny, they'll go on the defensive and either attack you verbally or they'll deny that they're being selfish because their egos are so fragile. If you find that the narcissist takes time for you only when it's convenient for them and ignores what you say and relates everything back to him or herself, you may want to question why you're around this person in the first place. You may want to unplug and be done with them. Most people who deal with narcissists for any length of time will often use this unplug technique because their patience will be exhausted. Now, after you've let these people go, you may benefit not only from the stop the thought technique whenever you think of them, but from the humor technique as well, focusing on the absurdity of the me, myself, and I narcissist. Dealing with the Eddie Haskell. Although Eddie Haskell types are obviously manipulative phonies, you can't totally dislike them because deep inside you hope that at least some of what they're saying may have some truth in it. When their sweetness becomes too sugary, use the tension blowout technique because it can help you deal with your emerging negative feelings. You can also use the humor technique to help you deal with this person's ingratiating comments. You might want to smile and lightheartedly say, "Oh, come on now, I can't be all those nice things you say. You must be buttering me up for something." This combination of humor and the direct confront technique may induce an adamant denial where you can add some even more humorous comments saying, if you keep saying all those sweet things about me, I may end up a diabetic, or boy, your nose is getting browner by the minute. Let them know you're on to their Eddie Haskell games. If they have any sense at all, they'll back off with laughter and denial or protest that they really didn't mean it and you are terrific. If you can't tolerate them or their Haskelling, as I call it anymore, try the mirror technique. Reflect back on them exactly what they said to you in the same sickeningly sweet tone. That'll usually get the message across and stop their kissing up to you. Dealing with the self-righteous priss. With a self-righteous priss, you may want to first try using the calm questioning technique to let them see how imperfect and rigid they're being. When the self-righteous priss starts to attack you, you need to attack back using the mirror technique and the give 'em hell technique. If, on the other hand, the self-righteous priss is in a position of authority and you find it too big a risk to mirror that person's behavior or give 'em hell and yell, you just may want to use that vicarious fantasy technique to help you get through that time that you have to spend together. Dealing with the snooty snob. When that snooty snob gives you that I'm better than you routine, the calm questioning technique works quite well. Ask the snobs enough questions to make them see how absurd they are for treating others without respect. Questions such as, what makes you feel you're better than anyone else? Or why wouldn't you talk to this type of person? Often throw them off guard as they have no clue how they should respond. The direct confront technique also tends to leave that snooty snob with an open mouth. Remember that movie Pretty Woman that we talked about? After Julia Roberts' character is dressed up like a princess, she goes back into that Beverly Hills store where the saleswoman snubbed her, and she confronts her, and she says, remember how you treated me when I came in here? And then she displays all her shopping bags and adds, well, you shouldn't have done that. And smirking, she turns on her heels and leaves the saleswoman, who earns her living, obviously, on commissions. They're ready to kick themselves for being such snooty snobs. Directly confronting the snooty snob is very pleasurable, as they never expect it, and they're quite shocked by your audacity. If you find that you've had enough of the snooty snob's shallow values and shallow friends, you need to dump them and unplug in order to keep your nerves intact. People who think that they're better than you and want to associate with only those who can raise their self-esteem are really not worth knowing. Dealing with the competitor. The direct confront technique is of great value in telling the competitor that you're not about to compete with him or her. If the competitor tries to top you, you might say, well, I'm glad you feel good about yourself, but it isn't necessary to show off or let me know how much better you are. I'm only trying to make conversation. Confronting the competitor directly often diffuses the situation and lets the person see him or herself more clearly. Competitiveness is a sign of jealousy, and as we know by now, jealousy seeks to destroy everything and everyone. There's no way that you can have a meaningful relationship with anyone who's overcome with jealousy about you. It's in your best interest to unplug on a personal relationship with anyone who persists on being competitive with you. Dealing with the control freak. The control freak can't function unless he or she is running the show. Children certainly have a need to be controlled, but to adults with minds and values of their own, it's downright insulting and humiliating to be controlled by anyone. You have to set limits with the control freak. Let them know that it's their business if they're trying to control everything around them, but it's your business when they're trying to control you. The first inkling of controlling behavior, you have to speak up using the direct confront technique. The mirror technique can also work wonders, inducing control freaks to literally freak out as they immediately rebel against your attempts to control them. Apparently, they can't really abide by what they do to others. But be aware that if you do persist in your mirroring of them, they'll probably lash out at you with verbal vehemence. Eventually, though, experiencing what it feels like to be told what to do and when and how to do it will usually deter their further attempts to control you. Now, there are relentless control freaks. They call for the use of the give 'em hell and yell technique. In this case, you have to dig in your heels and push out your stomach muscles, and you've got to bellow out that you won't be controlled or be told what to do because you're responsible and can make your own decisions. Now, if nothing works and the control freak continues to try to control you and they leave you upset and frustrated, you have no choice but to unplug. Otherwise, you'll be assured of losing your own identity and your ability to think for yourself. Dealing with the accusing critic. Since accusing critics are so insecure and so intent on being right, you have to approach them with the give 'em love and kindness technique. This can be reflected in your tone of voice and the gentle words that you choose. You can also detoxify the accusing critic by means of the calm questioning technique, using terms of endearment such as honey, sweetheart, incorporated in the love and kindness technique, often dilute any potential challenges. The mirror technique may also be useful in alerting accusing critics to their obnoxious behavior. Let's say you ordered a steak dinner, and the accusing critic commented that it would make her sick, that she would never eat red meat, and that you should feel guilty for ordering red meat. Well, to make her conscious of how she sounds, you might attack what she's eating, using the same words in the identical disgusted tones. Another technique you can use is the direct confront technique. Tell your dinner companion that her comments are rude and that you'd appreciate her allowing you to enjoy your meal. Just make the accusing critic accountable for their actions and not let them get away with anything. If the critic persists, you may want to just unplug from them. In the restaurant situation, you could even get up from the table and dramatically throw down your napkin or make a dramatic exit if you want to. You'll definitely have made your point there. The unplug technique, in which you just walk away, leaving the critic no one to accuse and criticize but themselves, can be used whenever the critic persists in attacking you verbally. Dealing with the arrogant know-it-all. Since arrogant know-it-alls use their knowledge as a defense mechanism in order to overcome their own insecurity and wanting to feel accepted and intelligent and admired, you have to let them know that you accept and appreciate them. So use the stop the thought technique and encourage the give them love and kindness technique so you can diffuse your own negative feelings towards them. Whenever you find these people too much, you may want to just release some of your own pent-up frustration using that tension blowout technique we talked about earlier. Just remember that by showing off their knowledge, they're trying to build themselves up so that you'll accept and appreciate them. Therefore, the more love and kindness you give them, the less they'll feel that they have to show off to you. If they aren't receptive to your point of view because they, quote-unquote, know it all, you need to use the direct confront technique and tell them that you appreciate their knowledge and insight, but would also appreciate their letting you contribute some information as well. Make the point that intelligent people like them to listen to what others say. This way, you'll not only have flattered their ego by complimenting them on their knowledge and intelligence, but also you will have reduced their insecurity and you will have opened the door to give and take communication. Dealing with the emotional refrigerator. For the most part, emotional refrigerators are a lost cause, unfortunately. You may want to have to shake some of those feelings into those people, but screaming and yelling won't help. Instead, it'll further alienate them, causing them to freeze you out even more. The approaches that work best are the, of course, tension blowout technique and the give them love and kindness techniques. Though these emotional refrigerators will often come around feeling safer and more accepted, frequently, deep down, these icebergs, so to speak, don't want to be the way they are, but they can't help themselves because they never learned how to communicate and to express their feelings. They're usually afraid to make fools out of themselves by looking or acting emotional. The humor technique can also be very effective in dealing with these people. You may not get them to share their feelings with you, but you can at least get them to laugh at some connection being made. There are, on the other hand, emotional refrigerators who may not be held back emotionally, but may merely have poor vocal skills and tend to speak in a monotone. Using the calm questioning technique, you can discover about what they think and how they feel about situations or people or events. Dealing with the skeptical paranoid. In the workplace, there are so many skeptical paranoids because they're people that have experienced so much disappointment. They've heard it all, and they're oftentimes afraid for their jobs. If their projects fail or if they make a wrong decision, they can be immediately discarded. Therefore, paranoia and fear and skepticism sets in. I found that both the direct confront and calm questioning techniques can help alleviate the fears of the skeptical paranoid by enabling them to see logically that their decisions are the right ones. When you assure them and reassure them through these techniques, they gain more confidence not only in you but in themselves as well. Because the main motivator for the skeptical paranoid is fear. You have to do whatever you can to assure them of your trustworthiness so that they feel safe around you, knowing that you're not out to hurt them or take advantage of them. So you need to have a lot of patience with the skeptical paranoid and use the tension blowout technique. This can help you blow out your own frustrations. If you just hang in there and offer support with the give them love and kindness technique, you may very well see them come around and maybe even become your close friend or ally. Now, if on the other hand, they tax your nerves so greatly that you just can't deal with them, you have to unplug because they'll deplete your energy if you don't. Dealing with the instigator. There are several approaches you can take with the instigator. You can use the calm questioning technique, which usually stops them in their tracks. They quickly realize that you're on to their game. Oftentimes when you question them, they'll squirm and become uncomfortable or even say, "Oh, I was only kidding," or "I was just curious." You can also use a direct confront technique. You can diffuse these instigators and let them know that you're certainly on to what they're up to. The humor technique also works very well with the instigator. When they try to upset you, you can use a humorous comeback, such as, "Oh, just keep on talking so I know you're not thinking." Say whatever humorous thing comes to your mind, as long as you let instigators know that you're definitely onto them and you're not taking anything they say seriously. So you really need to make light of all the provocative comments they make, and eventually they'll get the message. As you've seen, there are a lot of techniques you can use with each toxic terror. You can use one or a combination of one or every one of the 10 techniques when you're dealing with a specific toxic terror. It all depends on your particular preference and what you feel comfortable doing. No matter what technique you choose, the main thing you have to remember is release your anger and your frustration effectively so that you don't end up with some stress-induced illness. The role a toxic terror plays in your life affects your choice of technique, as we talked about earlier. Certain techniques may be more effective with family members, while other techniques may be more successful with coworkers, and still others prove to be even more successful with authority figures or subordinates. People act different ways with different individuals, depending on each person's effect on their life, their well-being, and their livelihood. We've all been taught that we have to love our families simply because they're our families. Well, unfortunately, there is toxicity in every family. Some families are not worthy of love, and you don't have to love any family member of your family who's been horrible to you. There are toxic mothers and fathers. Clearly, some parents had no business ever becoming parents. Those who physically or sexually abuse, torture, neglect their children, and inflict severe and irreparable damage. Oftentimes, harassment or mental abuse and even physical abuse continue into a child's teen or adult years. I wholeheartedly agree with many of my colleagues who believe that the unplug technique is the only way out in these particular cases. Here, it's in the victim's best interest to never deal with his or her parents again and have no communication whatsoever with them for a happier and more productive life. Of course, most parents are not vicious or premeditating abusers. Instead, toxic mothers and fathers may be poor souls with bad self-images who try to do the best that they could for their children, but because of ignorance or low self-esteem or their own familial history, they become toxic to their children. With them, techniques other than unplugging should be utilized. Unfortunately, accusing critics or cut-you-downer toxic mothers and fathers are all too prevalent, and they need to be treated with the direct confront or the calm questioning technique. They have to be told bluntly and directly that their words are hurtful. Some parental behavior, especially that of mental cases and angry pugilists, control freaks, competitors, and bitchy bossy bullies, can not only hurt but embarrass a child. The child wants desperately to love the parent and fix him or her, but it'll never work unless the parent takes action. In these cases, the unplug technique is also very appropriate. Other parents are embarrassing because they're gossips or jokesters or unconscious social klutzes or chatterboxes. Although they're not vicious, they can be a handful to deal with. Along with the humor technique and the tension blowout techniques, these types of parents have less lethal toxic traits, and they're often best approached with the calm questioning or direct confrontation or give them love and kindness techniques. But for a resistant parent to hear your annoyance and to start to listen to you, sometimes you have to give them hell and yell and mirror their behavior. Parents who are runners or wishy-washy wimps or smiling two-faced backstabbers or BSing liars or silent but deadly erupting volcanoes are quite scary to be around because you can never really trust them. You want so much from them, but they give you so little. They've caused you so much pain and anger and disappointment. So your main concern right now has to be about self-preservation. In dealing with parents who have abandoned you, the stop the thought technique and even the vicarious fantasy technique can help restore your sanity and repair your shattered feelings about them. Finally, there are parents who are really sad children themselves, and they've created a relationship that they've switched roles with their child, the self-destroyer and the mental case and the wishy-washy wimp or the gloom-and-doom victim or the BSing liar. They all fall into this category. The child ends up trying to rescue these poor, pathetic people because they're so fragile. Here, I would prescribe the give them love and kindness technique, but often you'll have to incorporate tough love to avoid becoming a codependent. So you have to unplug, not because you don't like your parents, but for the sake of loving them. You have to set limits and not allow them to drag you down in their pain and in their sickness. Oftentimes, this technique forces them to grow up and face their problems directly. We need to break the toxic legacy of passing down to our children behaviors we learn from our own parents. By applying these techniques, we can finally end the vicious cycle. Brothers and sisters can also cause one another more grief than anyone else in the world. Because of the complex family dynamics, most people feel guilt and shame and anger and disappointment when it comes to a sibling, even more so than they feel with a parent or a child. Since you share the same parents, you may believe that you think or feel and act the same way. But when this doesn't happen, people are often furious and they feel betrayed. In dealing with a sibling, you have to realize that even though you share similar genes, you're completely different. You can never expect your siblings to be the way you want them to be. This is where communication is essential. The humor technique, direct confront technique, mirror and calm questioning techniques, even give them hell and yell technique, which is a very popular technique with siblings, can radically improve your relationships with your siblings. There are also toxic spouses. I'm convinced that the reason the divorce rate is so high is because of the lack of knowledge of how to communicate with one another. We don't give one another the chance. We're willing to discard our partners after a few years simply because they upset us. Instead of using humor or using a calm questioning or direct confrontation technique or even giving them hell and yell, a necessity in any marriage or love relationship, we're all too quick to run away. You have options. Even if you're crazy, head over heels in love with someone, there are times when you will be driven crazy by your loved one. They'll make you terribly sad or terribly angry. When tensions arise, you can't run away. You can't stuff your feelings until they build up beyond repair. Instead, you have to deal with what's bothering you. You have to communicate because that's the only way you can ever expect to remain together. Now, sometimes there are people who've grown so far apart and have created such different lifestyles that they have nothing left in common. Others won't ever be able to forgive the person they once loved for doing something like cheating or betraying them because they feel they can never trust the individual again. Those people need to unplug and let go, no matter how painful it is. They need to use the stop the thought technique and the vicarious fantasy techniques to help them cope with the anger against their toxic spouse. Use this anger to remove yourself from the toxic relationship and leave with your dignity and self-respect intact. There are also toxic children. In the tough love movement of many years ago, parents put their incorrigible children through special disciplinary programs in order to teach them to be accountable for their actions. In many of these cases, the children recovered and were able to change their toxic ways. These days, it's easy to blame a parent for a child's toxic behavior or toxic nature. And critics may say that a child was given too much or too little love. Today, there are many influences that parents have little control over, such as the media or peer pressure, the pressure to achieve, drugs, gangs, violence in the schools. and random violence in general. I know many model parents whose children have ended up such as drug addicts or single mothers or gang members. Although many parents feel hopeless when their children are out of control, they must never give up. There are options available. You have to begin with the direct confront technique. Talk to your child as an adult, not condescendingly. Because of the strong influences of the media, children are so well aware of what's happening around them. So don't be afraid to talk to them person to person as adults. Let them come up to your level. Don't go down to theirs. Use the give them love and kindness technique, the calm questioning, mirror techniques. Don't even be afraid to give them hell and yell. But don't use this technique too often or it'll lose its effectiveness. When children don't cooperate or listen to reason, you have to let them suffer the consequences of their actions through tough love, unplug, and get them appropriate help. And of course, there are toxic friends. With friends like those, you certainly don't need enemies. There's nothing so disheartening or emotionally devastating as when someone whom you trusted, whom you believed in, whom you love, betrays you. Sometimes we tolerate people and call them friends when they're anything but. Perhaps we feel sorry for them because their lives didn't turn out as well as ours. Or perhaps we grew up with them and went to school with them and we stick by them because they've been part of our lives for so long. Well, no matter how we rationalize it, these people who cause us grief, pain, severe disappointment, and disrespect us by not supporting us are not our friends. A friend is someone who supports you. A friend is someone who helps you through crisis, who's elated when you're happy, who's not jealous of you. A friend is someone who will never break a confidence. They'll defend you. They won't try to compete with you. They're respectful, generous, sensitive, accepting. They're honest. They share their thoughts and feelings with you. They don't judge you. Anyone who has less than these characteristics is not a friend. Nobody's perfect, and friends certainly may slip from time to time. But when there's communication through direct confrontation and calm questioning and giving them love and kindness, that's what allows you to maintain that intimate bond between friends so that you can continue respecting and appreciating one another. They're also toxic lovers. You know, if we can be open and naked with someone in the bedroom engaging in the most private acts, why is it so difficult to communicate with that person? Perhaps it has a lot to do with our own sense of self-worth. Often, we don't know how to talk to a lover. Since this is the most special person who's capable of making us feel so good, what we do and what we say when a lover disappoints or hurts us or hurts our feelings may seem awkward. We feel so vulnerable and unprotected, and as a result, we may even overreact and not put his or her actions in perspective. Intimate relationships quickly become toxic when there's no communication. Let's talk about toxic coworkers. A toxic coworker may take the form of a competitor, or a cut-you-downer, or a smiling, two-faced backstabber, or a gossip, or a meddler, or even an instigator. Although the work environment is vastly different from the environment at home, some people look at the boss as a parental or authority figure and their coworkers as their siblings. As a result, the dynamics that exist in these quote-unquote families often cross over in the work situation. The most effective way to deal with toxic coworkers are the tension blowout and direct confrontation techniques, and also the calm questioning techniques. Never lose your cool at work or give them hell and yell. This won't work. Any type of verbal violence in the workplace is unacceptable. Whatever your job description, you need to act in a civilized and professional manner at all times. If you're clearly being sabotaged, use the direct confront technique with a toxic coworker and the boss. Openly tell the boss what's gone on. Let the toxic coworker know that you're on to their game and that you'll have no part of it and that you'll go to a higher authority, the boss, to achieve honesty and justice. There are also toxic subordinates. Some subordinates are so resentful or jealous of their superiors that they enact the role of a gossip or a silent but deadly erupting volcano or instigator or an Eddie Haskell type or self-righteous priss or a skeptical paranoid. They must always treat their bosses with respect simply because of their position. Just as bosses need to respect their subordinates, the same holds true for subordinates. A boss who's upset at a subordinate must keep a calm, professional demeanor at all times and also must never get angry or give the hell and yell technique. It's the direct confront and the calm questioning techniques that are essential in dealing with toxic subordinates. When a subordinate doesn't get it after being talked to repeatedly, the boss needs to document the incidents of toxic behavior in writing, complete with dates and times, because if the problems are documented, there's less chance of the subordinate taking legal action. The subordinate then needs to be unplugged as soon as possible. There are also toxic authority figures. Just as your boss has control over your livelihood and financial situation, there are people who have control over your life to the extent that they can destroy it. Their being in positions of authority is no guarantee that they can't be toxic. Look at the toxic politicians who've been accused of stealing or having illicit affairs with members of both sexes. These toxic individuals, whether they're law enforcement officers, teachers, or even clergy, may be powerless people outside their positions and will often use their authority as a means to feel more powerful. They'll usually manifest themselves as control freaks, arrogant know-it-alls, accusing critics, self-righteous prisses, emotional refrigerators, cut-you-downers, angry pugilists, or even bitchy bossy bullies. If they hold the power of your life in their hands, don't attempt to upset them. No matter how angry or violent you're feeling, don't give them hell and yell because they won't hear you. They'll only get angrier and angrier and you'll suffer more negative consequences. Instead, keep breathing and force yourself to do the tension blowout and the stop the thought techniques. Think of the most heinous, vicarious fantasy picture for yourself and release it. Don't speak, just breathe. Now, after the dust has settled, you can make the lives of these, quote, toxic authority figures miserable by expressing your rage through legal recourse. You no longer have to feel victimized by their actions and keep your anger deep inside of you. Just as there are toxic authority figures, there are also toxic professionals, doctors, lawyers, business managers, CPAs, even therapists. Just because people were intellectually capable and did well in school or completed a medical residency, that doesn't mean that they're superior to you or free of toxicity. Oftentimes, the behavior is manifested as a bitchy, bossy bully or an angry pugilist or a competitor or a smiling, two-faced backstabber, a cut-you-downer, a narcissist, a snooty snob, an arrogant know-it-all, control freak, accusing critic, or even a skeptical paranoid. Oftentimes, toxic professionals can treat you condescendingly and act as though they're doing you a favor by even talking to you. These toxic professionals need to be put in their place. Their place is to help you and support you. It doesn't matter how famous doctors or lawyers are or how many articles have been written about them. They must first and foremost be of service to you. You're paying the bill. You have every right to ask questions and every right to be treated with respect. The calm questioning technique is best used with a toxic professional. The key word is calm. Professionals are oftentimes sensitive human beings, and they'll often get offended if you ask them questions in a way that sounds like an attack. They may react defensively and start talking down to you or act abruptly. Therefore, it's important for you to be conscious of your voice when you talk to these professionals. Maintain a calm and respectful tone that can be heard, that's not too harsh or too loud. If having asked your questions in this manner, you still find that you're being treated disrespectfully, you should then use the direct confront technique. Let them know in a calm but firm tone that you'd prefer to be treated with respect and not talked down to. In a situation where a professional continues to treat you insensitively, you have to unplug. In contrast to professionals who are toxic because they feel superior to you, there are service people who will often be toxic to you because they're jealous of you or insecure of your presence. They may hate being salespeople or doing their home improvement job or repairing cars or waitressing, but they shouldn't take out their unhappiness on you. You don't have to be victimized by whatever contributes to these people's toxicity. Now, you have options for handling these negative entities in your life. The toxic service person can best be controlled through the direct confront technique, and if that doesn't work, you may want to try mirroring them. And if that fails, don't take their garbage. Instead, give them hell and yell and unplug. Leave. Don't pay for their services not rendered, and don't tip them if they don't deserve it. You shouldn't feel obliged to pay anyone who's abused you or treated you shabbily. You do have options from these toxic people. Even though they infiltrate every aspect of your life, you no longer have to run and hide from them. You have to access the specific technique for dealing with them appropriately. You never have to be victimized by toxic people again. You have to be brutally honest with yourself, because there's some relationships that'll never work. There are people who have character traits that are so toxic to you that it's virtually impossible for you to be around them. In these cases, you have no choice but to leave the relationship behind in order to save yourself. You don't need to salvage anything. Leave it all behind, with the exception of your dignity. After you've identified the person who's caused your problems, remember to make that decision to end the toxic relationship, because that could be the best thing you could do for your self-esteem. If you have tinges of remorse or guilt, just remind yourself of how horribly you were treated. If you remain around the individual, you'll only re-stimulate your anger and your poor self-esteem. As you achieve closure in that particular relationship, don't be surprised if you go through a variety of emotions, such as crying or screaming. You may even want to be singing or feel real happy. Your emotions will be very unpredictable. Don't worry about it. Just go with the flow. Feel what you're feeling, because it'll help you with the healing process. There are a lot of ways to end a toxic relationship. Even after you've used all the appropriate methods for helping you deal with the pain of a toxic person in your life, you still may be angry and want to seek revenge. But whatever you do, as I said before, never seek physical revenge or use physical violence to settle a score. You may want to find solace in the principle of what goes around comes around. If you treat people well, it'll return to you tenfold. If you treat them poorly, likewise, it'll come back to you tenfold. In essence, nobody gets away with it in the big picture. You can also remember that success is definitely the best revenge on those who've been toxic to you. If someone's been toxic to you, you need to forgive. Forgiving doesn't mean to forget. Forgiving means to give up, to let things go. That's not to say you should completely and forever block out all the toxic things done to you, but you should give up the self-abuse or the pain you've suffered. You need to let go of the negative feelings and the hate, because hate only consumes the hater. If you need professional help to cope with the person who literally ruined your life, get professional help immediately. In discussing toxic people, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that people can change. We've all heard the expression, never say never. Well, finding somebody toxic today doesn't mean that you'll find that person toxic tomorrow. Look at what's happened around the world. The enemies of yesterday have become the friends of today. While it's true that leopards don't ever change their spots, human beings are not leopards. They can, and they do change, especially if they want to change. Knowing how to handle toxic people can diffuse your animosity and, most important, change not only your behavior towards them, but their behavior towards you. Let's say you want to make contact. You want to revitalize or renew a once toxic relationship. You can do it in a number of ways, by either writing a letter or phoning or meeting face-to-face. But whatever channel you use, never accuse or abuse the person, because your intention has to be not to pronounce them wrong, but rather to express your feelings in an attempt to get new understanding about that person's behavior. Whatever means you use to make contact, you have to be prepared for any response. The person you contact may be defensive or accusing or hostile or even non-communicative. They may not be open, or they may be open, apologetic or compassionate, and equally willing to renew the relationship. No matter what the outcome, the fact is that you made the first move and you tried to establish contact. You have no control over how others react, but you do have control over your own actions. So if you act openly and honestly and in good faith and with sincerity that you've done your best, you can't do any more. Whether your attempts to reconcile are reciprocated or not, you should feel very proud of yourself, because it takes a big person with an open mind and an open heart to make that first move. Just as it takes a big person to make that first move, it takes a big person, a person with a lot of strength, to admit that they were wrong. Love is having to say you're sorry. If you've done someone wrong, you owe it not only to that person, but to yourself, to cleanse your soul, to say that you're sorry and to try to make amends. This is the only way you can really change and forgive yourself for the toxic actions of your past. Many 12-step programs employ these techniques of making amends so that people can begin on the road to recovery. When you've made the first move to let someone know that you've been toxic, you have to be prepared for the person's reaction. They may or may not forgive you. They may or may not reject your apology. They may become angry or they may not become angry. The reaction is not important. What is important is that you made the first move, that you were big enough to do something about it and try to rectify the situation and make amends. When you rebuild a toxic relationship, you have to realize that it's not going to happen overnight. It took a long time for the relationship to deteriorate, and it's going to take a long time for the relationship to rebuild. So it's important that you take your time when you want to reconstruct a relationship. The longer you rebuild, the more chance you'll have of cementing a broken relationship and making it a lasting one. If you want to start over, you can't begin where you left off, continuing your old ways, because you'll reactivate the negative situation and alienate the person all over again. Instead, there has to be some new rules that are set up. The first thing you need to do is let go of all the guilt or bad feelings that you have. Since you already said you were sorry and you meant it, stop beating yourself up. It's so important that you go into this relationship now with a clean slate, mentally, physically, and emotionally. If you do find yourself thinking self-destructively about the negative things that were done in the past, use the stop the thought technique, because this will prevent you from rehashing the past. Sometimes you've treated someone poorly and you don't really know what to do or what to say or how to treat that person now. You may want to ask that person for help. You may want to say, if I've done anything that upsets you, please let me know about it right away. Help me become aware of my actions so that I don't continue acting the way I did towards you. Tell me immediately so that we don't continue to have hard feelings towards one another. In trying to reestablish the new relationship, it's very important to watch your words. Be careful about trigger words such as you should, you ought to. Instead, you can substitute would you consider, or perhaps it may work. It may be very hard for you at first, but with a lot of practice, this will be easier and easier to do. Often when toxic people irritate you, it may not only be their problem, but your problem as well. Because your low threshold of tolerance for them renders you incapable of handling their actions, you may react negatively to them. You may not like what they're doing, but instead of yelling at them or making demands, you might use a calm question. You may want to use the breathing technique to gain control, to take your time. And most important of all, you need to use loving tones, no matter what you say to the person. If you're going to revitalize a former toxic relationship, you have to have new rules. First of all, don't blame. Secondly, apologize immediately if it's your fault. Three, don't hold back. Say it all. Communicate. Four, don't attack. Five, don't threaten. Six, never hit below the belt. Never bring up a person's sensitive issues. And finally, never use sarcasm or belittle the person. If all attempts at reconciliation have failed, or if you've decided that to renew a toxic relationship would be way too self-destructive, you've got to enter the healing process. Since you're emotionally tender, you have to do whatever you can to be nice to yourself and treat yourself with the respect and dignity you richly deserve. There are a lot of ways that you can heal. Sometimes you need to be alone, as long as you don't feel that way all the time. By occasionally shutting out all the stimuli and staying away from people, you can often regenerate. Sometimes you can regenerate for a few weeks or a few months. Other times it may take years to regenerate. Perhaps even going out of town for a few days can do it. It doesn't have to be expensive. Whatever it takes to be alone and to be able to reflect on your own thoughts and your own feelings, do it so that you can emerge stronger and happier. It's also important to pamper your body as well as pampering your mind. Take care of yourself. Pamper your soul as well. Spiritually, take inventory. Look at yourself mentally, emotionally, physically. Take steps to find out what your present position is in life and where you want to go in the future. Now that you've regenerated yourself, you need to come out. But you don't have to come out all at once. In fact, it's best if you do it slowly. Take the time to do whatever you wanted to do to change your image, your life, how you feel about yourself. Just do something positive for yourself. It's important to meet new and different kinds of people. You need to take the time out to be with others. You also have to start saying nice things to yourself. Never say anything negative to yourself. And if you do, censor those negative thoughts. Only say good things about yourself and to yourself. You no longer have to be a victim. You can be that winner. You can change immediately. Nobody is immune to exposure to toxic people. In fact, the most famous, richest, most successful people in the world have had to cope with them. These accomplished people have been told that they weren't talented or they weren't good enough, but they refuse to be victims. They refuse to let someone else's toxicity immobilize them. They refuse to let anger and hate consume them. Like so many winners, they fought back against these people in their lives who made them miserable. We need to derive our own inspiration, not from the parade of hopeless victims we constantly see on television, but from those people who can inspire us, who can stand up and say, "Hey, I refuse to be a victim anymore." This tape helps you, gives you the tools to fight back effectively so that you too can become a winner and be surrounded by other winners in your life. Now you have choices, you have options, and never again do you have to feel hopeless and convinced that you want to curl up and be alone. You no longer have to be destroyed by those toxic people. As the philosopher Nietzsche once said, "That which does not destroy you makes you stronger." Oh, how right he was. When you're able to handle the people in your life who make you miserable, you'll definitely become a much stronger and more secure person. Your inner strength will allow you to take more risks in your career and in your social life, thereby creating a richer, fuller, and more adventurous journey through a life that is filled with positive, good, and exciting things. Perhaps nothing tells us more than the story. One day, there was a teacher who asked his students how they could tell when the night ended and the day began. Well, one student said, "It's when you see an animal in the distance, and you can tell if it's a dog or a cat." "No," answered the teacher. Another child answered, "Oh, I know. It's when you look at a tree in the distance, and you can tell if it's an apple tree or a fig tree." "No, no," the teacher replied. "Well, when has the night ended and the day begun?" the students demanded to know. The wise old teacher answered, "It's when you look at the face of any man or any woman or any child and see that it's your sister or your brother. Because if you cannot see this, it's still night." While it may be still night for many people, perhaps someday we'll be able to see and embrace any man, any woman, any child, no matter who they are, what the color of their skin is, or what their belief system is. Perhaps this tape will help some of us finally see the daylight. Thank you for joining me. This has been Toxic People, 10 Ways of Dealing with People Who Make Your Life Miserable. Written by Dr. Lillian Glass, narrated by Dr. Lillian Glass. Copyright year 2015. Name of copyright holder, Dr. Lillian Glass. Production copyright year was recorded 2015 by Dr. Lillian Glass, Your Total Image Publishing.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.